Welcome to Cool Kids Cook with Kid Chef Eliana. Get ready to explore the foodie world with one of the youngest published cookbook authors. We'll share tips, techniques, recipes, and speak to some of the world's top chefs. Now, here's your host, Chef Eliana.
Welcome to the program, Cool Kids Cook, on the Voice America Kids Network. I'm Kid Chef Eliana, a cookbook author, foodie, and your show host. Here's what's happening with me. This past week, I was a featured chef and author at the Jambalaya Writers Conference in Houma, Louisiana. Stay tuned to hear all about it. My auntie Faye came to visit and we had a ton of fun with her, sightseeing on the bayou and doing a photo shoot. Hear more about it later. I had an interview with the Food Network. I'm really excited and can't wait to share more. I received the March-April 2014 issue of Ingredient Magazine. The issue is all about chickens, and my column gives egg tips. I love this magazine for kid foodies. Order your subscription at ingredientmag.com. Today, I got my report card. I got all A's and the Alpha Honor Roll. Yay! But now, it's time for our interview with our special guest, Master Gardener Dan Gill. Dan Gill is an associate professor in consumer horticulture with the LSU Ag Center, a position he has held since 2001. He is the spokesperson for the LSU Ag Center's Get It Growing Project, a statewide educational effort in home horticulture utilizing radio, internet, TV, and newsprint. Gardeners throughout Louisiana read his columns in local newspapers, watch his gardening segments on local TV stations, listen to him on local radio, and access content on the internet. Mr. Dan appears weekly on New Orleans' channel for Morning News, writes a weekly gardening column for the Times-Picayune, and hosts the Saturday Morning Garden Show on WWL 870 AM, a live call-in radio program that reaches southeast Louisiana and the Gulf Coast. His Bayou Gardening segment on WRKF 883.9 AM in Baton Rouge airs on Saturday mornings. Mr. Dan is author of several gardening books and writes gardening articles for many publications. Mr. Dan, I'm so excited to have you on the show, and welcome to Cool Kids Cook.
Well, I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, it's my pleasure. So how did you become interested in gardening? Was it something you wanted to do as a child, or did you grow into it?
You know, I was lucky. You know, those of us who are able to find what we love to do when we're younger, it really helps us so much as we go through our lives. And I think it's great when young people are able to identify their interests and focus on those and develop them, very much like you have. I started digging up little plants out of the woods and bringing them home from my mom to help me pot them up back when I was in the first and second grade. My dad was in the Army, so we moved around a lot, all over the place, in many places in the world as I grew up. But when I settled into high school, my dad was stationed at Fort Polk in Leesville, and I began to really focus on plants as a possible profession then, and realized that I wanted to be a horticulturist. So in high school, I determined that's what I wanted to be. So when I went to LSU, I was able to begin to focus right away on those courses that would help me with this career. Eventually, I decided I wanted to teach, and when I graduated with my master's degree, I found a wonderful opportunity to teach the public all about gardening by working for the LSU Ag Center. I started doing that in 1980, and I've been doing it ever since.
Wow, that's a long time. So you've been teaching people for a very long time, and you've obviously been interested in gardening ever since you were little.
Well, that's true, and not everybody finds. I had a lot of friends in college that when they went to college, they were still looking, and it's kind of a struggle sometimes finding what you want to do. And that's why I think it's important for kids in particular, expose yourself to so many different things, find out what your interests are, and if you can find a profession with something that you love to do, that is such a wonderful combination that we're able to do as a career.
Right, that definitely is, you know, if you know it from early on, rather than waiting until it's almost time, and then you say, oh my gosh, what am I going to do?
Yeah, right.
Right. Spring is officially here, although sometimes the weather doesn't reflect it. I started my seedlings and humidity domes inside my house, so when is a good time to transplant them into the outdoor garden?
Well, most of the vegetables you're starting at this time are great warm season vegetables. These are vegetables that we plant in the spring and produce for us in the early to middle part of the summer. When a transplant is raised indoors in a protected situation like that humidity dome, you need to get them used to the great outdoors. If you take them right out of that environment and plunge them right into the environment of your garden with the wind and the sun and the harsh realities of the real world, sometimes the seedlings have a hard time. You may get burned leaves. So first off, there's a transition between raising your seedlings in your house and putting them in your garden. And we call that hardening off in gardening. And what you want to do is put those seedlings in a shady spot outside, and then over about a 10-day period, move them into more and more sun. Let them dry just a little bit between waterings. That'll get them used to the real world where things aren't always perfect and water isn't always there for them. Don't let them really wilt badly, but let them wilt just a tiny bit. And that gradual introduction to more sun, the breezes that occur outside will prepare them for putting them right into your garden. As far as temperatures go, it's still a little nippy, but we're not going to have any more hard freezes at this point, so it is still safe to go ahead and get those wonderful vegetables out into the garden.
Awesome. Those are some great tips I didn't know about, so, you know, I'm learning new things too. So I'll definitely have to get my plants outside soon, because I can't wait to put them in the garden and get some nice, beautiful vegetables in summer.
Wonderful.
Now, yeah, I know. I'm so excited. So for kids and families who have never gardened before, what kinds of fruits, vegetables, or herbs do you suggest they begin with?
Well, when I think about fruit for kids, strawberries are a wonderful choice. They produce quickly. They're pretty easy to grow. Here in Louisiana, we tend to plant the strawberries in the fall around about October or November. They grow through the mild winter that we have, and they begin to bloom and produce strawberries. We're starting to get strawberries off of our strawberry plants right now. And when the season's over around about May or June, we just pull the plants out, put something else in there for the summer, and buy fresh new plants for the fall. So it really makes strawberries a really easy plant to grow. And again, you get quick return for planting. Blueberries are a really wonderful fruit bush to grow as well. And almost everybody loves blueberries, either picked right off the bush or prepared in many different kinds of ways. So blueberries are another one of my favorite fruit to grow. They're great for kids because the bushes stay low and it's easy to pick the fruit. Unlike a lot of the fruit trees like citrus or figs that get so tall, it's hard for the kids to get at the fruit. For vegetables, everybody this time of the year has got to plant tomatoes. And so buy some tomato transplants at your local nursery or garden center. Get them in the ground now. Peppers are another great choice. But one of my favorite for kids, when I work with school gardens, would be green beans or snap beans. The bush snap beans are really easy to grow. You can plant the seeds right into the garden where you want them to grow. They come up easily. And the little bush snap beans are real easy for kids to reach down and harvest. I love to eat snap beans right out of the garden. Just pop them in my mouth. They're sweet and crunchy. But you can do all kinds of things with them as well. So they're a great, easy-to-grow, nutritious vegetable. I think kids would really enjoy growing in their gardens.
Oh, definitely. So those are tons and tons of easy things that the families can do together and that are easy for kids. And it seems like I'm right on track. I'm actually growing some strawberries right now. And I have sugar snap peas. I have some other herbs like, and I do have tomatoes, too, that are growing, so seems like that's perfect. I can't
wait. Oh, it sounds
wait.
Like you're doing good.
Yeah, I actually have a huge garden. We're actually building more. We just had just a 4x4, but we're going to build another 4x4 so we can plant some more. Yay.
Well, I like to garden raised beds the way you are. I always encourage school gardens and gardens with kids. If you build a raised bed about 12 inches high and fill it with good quality soil, that's one of the easiest ways to grow vegetables.
Yes, right, and then you don't have to like bend all the way down to the ground and try and pick all your vegetables and fruits.
Well, that's not an issue at your age, but at my age, that does make a difference.
Right, I guess that kind of does. I mean, like, if you have, right, that too. Well, plan and prep your garden while we take a quick break. I'm Kid Chef Eliana, and you're listening to Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids.
What do you want to do? Are you interested in the performing arts? If so, make sure you tune in to the Angel and Harmony Show. Angel and Harmony have experience singing, acting, and performing in general, and want to help you live out your dreams of the future. Whether you are interested in acting, modeling, dancing, or singing, this is the show for you. We'll even give you the scoop on being behind the scenes if you're a little shy. The Angel and Harmony Show is heard live every Thursday at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids Channel.
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Looking for an on-air community where teens talk and the world listens? Tune in to Express Yourself, an entertaining adolescent fusion radio program where passion and possibility populate the airwaves. Our vivacious teen hosts and star-studded field reporters from around the country offer stimulating segments and invigorating viewpoints connecting with the world campus of young people. We'll talk with cool celebrities, exhilarating experts, and tenacious teens with experience. Tuesdays at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids. Express yourself. This is Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids. Be sure to check out Eliana's webpage at kidchefeliana.com or follow her Facebook and Twitter pages by clicking the links on her show page. Now, back to Cool Kids Cook.
Welcome back to Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids. I'm Kid Chef Eliana. Let's continue our interview with Master Gardener Dan Gill of the LSU Ag Center. Now, like many people, I want to grow organic produce. How do we keep the pests out of the garden, and what kinds of natural remedies can we use?
Well, that is a real good question. When it comes to vegetables in particular, if something comes in, a disease or an insect comes in and damages your vegetables severely, well, that takes away the produce that you're trying to get for all the hard work you've put into it. One thing, though, we can raise our level of tolerance a little bit. That is, you don't have to spray every time you see a hole in a leaf or if one fruit gets damaged. So one thing is to accept some more damage. We don't have to have a perfect garden. We don't have to spray constantly to try to accomplish that. When you do see an insect or disease problem, it's critical to get a proper diagnosis. Without a good diagnosis, knowing what the insect or what the disease is, you don't know where to go at that point, whether to find good organic controls or other cultural controls or other methods that you can use to deal with it. So when you do see symptoms or damage in your vegetable garden, contact your local LSU Ag Center Extension office, talk to the county agent, find out what's going on, and then ask them to help you come up with the safest, reliable methods that will help. Sometimes it's a matter of just picking the bugs off by hand, or you can blast them off with a garden hose. Sometimes in the case of diseases, it's mostly just kind of cleaning things up and not leaving a lot of material that's infected laying around. So again, I'd say the most important thing is to get an identification, because then once you know what you're dealing with, you can go online or you can talk to horticulture experts about the safest methods to deal with it.
Right, because there's tons of different things that could be going on and you don't know if you're doing the right thing for it, so it's definitely a good thing to talk to an expert.
That's so true. That is so true. And there are organic pesticides that can be used. They're low toxicity materials, but again, you've got to know the right one to use for the right particular kind of disease or insect that you're dealing with.
Right. Now, let's find out more about you personally, Mr. Dan. What's your favorite dish to cook, and what's your favorite dish to eat?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question because I do enjoy cooking. Pizza is one of my favorite things to cook because you can do anything you want to with pizza. There are so many different variations depending on what you have on hand or what you're in the mood for. So a pizza is like a blank canvas. You just paint whatever you want to on it with whatever ingredients you decide to put on it. So that's one of my favorites. An old family traditional dish is chicken and dumplings, and my mom taught me how to cook old Southern-style chicken and dumplings, and that's still one of my favorite things to cook. I think of my mom whenever I roll out those dumplings and drop them into that boiling chicken broth with those wonderful, delicious, tender pieces of chicken. Nothing could be better. Nothing could be better.
Yeah, sometimes the best meals are just the comfort foods that, you know, you grew up eating when you were a kid. Chicken and dumpling, that's delicious. And like you said, pizza is definitely a blank canvas. I just had pizza the other night, like maybe a couple weeks ago, and I actually used my arugula from my garden on my pizza, and it was really good.
Oh, that sounds like a great flavor. You know, pizza can be an appetizer, a main course, even a dessert. You can make a sweet pizza. I know you've probably done that too.
I have, right. There's so many different things you can do with pizza. I love that. So can you share with our listeners your funniest or most disastrous food memory?
You know, I'm so perfect. I really have never made a disastrous mistake in the kitchen. Well, you know somebody is really laying one on you when they say something like that, because we all have our situations where we've forgotten something, the oven or burned something. But I have to admit, one of my biggest embarrassments is always when you're having company over. You have a bunch of people, and I was cooking some gumbo for a large event. We're going to have about 20 or 30 friends over, and I love a good, rich-bodied gumbo, not anything too watery and thin, but something really has some oomph to it. And this time I went overboard, and by the time the gumbo was out and being served, I walked by and I saw somebody ladle some gumbo on top of some rice, and it sat there like spaghetti sauce on spaghetti. So I knew I had gotten it way too, and by then it was too late to do anything. And somebody finally walked up and said, "That's an interesting gumbo. I've never had it so thick." And I said, "Well, it's an old technique that I thought I'd try out on." Always never admit that you've made a mistake when something like that goes on. Always act as if it was exactly what you wanted to do.
Right. You just have to kind of cover it up and just roll with it.
So true. So true.
Right. So now you know. Just try not to make it as thick.
That's right. Make sure it's how it ought to be before you put it out for the guests to eat it. That's for sure.
Right. Now let's talk about unusual foods. What's the most unusual food you've ever eaten? Is there a food you would never eat again?
Well, the most unusual food, I have to say, thinking back, would be something like either escargot, which is, of course, is snails. And when you see snails crawling around in the garden, the thought of eating one of those is not always that pleasant. But I love escargot and fresh raw oysters. I mean, when you think about that, you're eating a living thing. It's still alive when you eat it. And we eat so few things alive like that, that eating raw oysters, another really unusual food that we really enjoy doing here in South Louisiana. Foods that I'd never eat again, unfortunately, I just can't abide by liver. So calf's liver, it's just one of those foods, I just don't have a taste for it. Some of the weirdest food, cheeses. I mean, if you ever go and sit down and look at some of the more unusual cheeses, they stink to high heaven. Why anybody would ever put something that smells like that in their mouth is beyond me. I was in Paris one time and had a waiter bring us out just a random platter of cheeses, and he did pretty good, but a couple of them smelled like something died. So some of the cheeses, there are some of those that I think I'd probably hold my nose on those.
Right. Sometimes, but you never know. They might be really tasty.
Well, again, I'd have to hold my nose to do it, but I might give it a try.
Right. I usually never like to say no to something if I've never tried it, no matter how disgusting or smelly it might, be.
Off-putting, yes.
Right. Now, when you're not busy with your life as a gardener, what's your favorite pastime?
Well, it's reading, and so I'm fortunate that gardening is such an active sort of a pastime to do. So when I'm out gardening, I'm getting some exercise, because otherwise one of my favorite things to do is just curl up in a chair with a good book and read. I have read most of my life. I've always been a big reader from the time I was your age. So that's still something I thoroughly enjoy doing. It's nice watching movies or watching TV, seeing stories presented visually like that, but there's something about reading where you have to use your own imagination, your own mind, to visualize what's going on that I think is real satisfying.
Oh, yes. I've always loved reading, too. I'm an avid reader. I'm always, you can always see me curled up with a book and just always reading something new, like, oh, you finished that book, I need another book.
There you go. I'm like that. I need to have a book that I'm reading at all times.
Oh, yes, me too. Always have a book with me. I love books. I mean, I just recently, I'm on the third book of the Divergent trilogy right now, and I saw the movie for Divergent. That's the thing I'm in right now.
I've been hearing all about that. I'm going to have to pick up some of that. I like teen books on occasion, too.
Yeah, right. Just, every now and then. I think that's a really, really good book, and I love the movie. And it was a little fast-paced, but I still liked it. But, yes, reading is a great pastime.
Well, I'll take your advice on Divergent, too. I'll have to pick that up soon.
Oh, definitely. Now, what advice do you have for kids who have a dream?
pursue it, you know, and don't let anybody tell you that it's not appropriate. Sometimes, unfortunately, adults have ideas for their kids or for kids that they may know, and they may, you know, not really meaning to, either sort of cut down or just not encourage a dream. And I do think that once you've identified something that you really enjoy doing, that you identify with, that you learn easy, one of the ways that I think that we realize that we connect with something is when we learn about it so easily. Like when kids memorize all the names for dinosaurs. I mean, golly, those long names. If you're like that, if you find something that you just learn very easily, you enjoy reading about it or watching programs about it, and you retain it and you're able to talk about it, well, that's something that you have compatibility with. And when you find that, I think it's a good idea to look around and see if you can make a career out of it. Is it just an interest, or is there something you can do with your life? And so identify those things that you love and move on from there, but try to make a career out of it if you can.
Oh, definitely. Great advice.
Now, like lastly, you have done.
Yeah, right. Now, lastly, here's a wacky off-the-wall food question. If you could be any food, what would you be and why?
Well, of course, since I'm a horticulturist, it would have to be a fruit or a vegetable. It had to be something that came from plants. You know, I guess an apple. An apple is such really wonderful fruit. You know, it's crisp. It can be tart and sour. It can be really sweet. You can do an amazing amount of things with it, but it is so delicious just to eat an apple by itself. So I think that because it has so many wonderful qualities, it's good for us, it's healthy, I think an apple would be what I would choose to be. That would be the food I would choose to be.
Awesome. Great. Apples. Love that. Well, thank you so much for being a guest on Cool Kids Cook.
Well, it was a joy talking to you, and I really appreciate you having me on, Aliana.
Thank you. You've shown us that a good garden relies on planning and preparation, and that anyone can grow produce. If you want to find out more about Master Gardener Dan Gill and the LSU Ag Center, visit KidChefEliana.com for all the links. Transplant your seedlings while we head to a break. I'm Kid Chef Eliana, and you're listening to Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids.
Have you heard your 15 minutes of fame? How about four times that every single week? It's the Fame Game. Listen as Maddie Rose, who is up and coming in the world of fame, brings you fame from all walks of life. You'll hear from doctors, teachers, mentors, life heroes, as well as those in the fields of acting, movies, music, and more. Who knows? You might be the next one Maddie Rose talks to on the air. Listen for the Fame Game every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids Channel.
Sometimes we may sound strange, but remember, we're just kids with opinions. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Have we got a show that will keep you on the pulse of the fashion world? Our hosts are two teens who know fashion, and they have the inside look when it comes to fashion for our generation. Tune in to Fashion Forward on Voice America Kids. We'll discuss what's hot and what's not, the latest in fashion trends, things to look for on the horizon, and more. Fashion Forward is your weekly guide to what to wear today, tonight, this weekend, and this season. Tune in every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, for Fashion Forward on the Voice America Kids channel.
And now, Kid Star Update, here's Cole with Sports Rewind.
My name is Cole Meon from Fort Wayne, Indiana, and you are listening to Sports Rewind. In NBA news, Miami falls to the Bulls 88-85 in overtime. Miami is on a three-game losing streak, but they ended that streak against the Wizards, winning 99-90. If they would have lost, they would have not made it to the playoffs. It was a close one for the Heat. And also, Lakers defeat the Thunder 114-110, his third triple-double in that game. In college basketball news, Michigan takes a win over Indiana 84-80. In the Big Ten tournament, begins March 13th in Indianapolis. Number 1, Michigan. Number 2, Wisconsin. Number 3, Michigan State. And number 4, Nebraska all earn first-round buys. And everyone is gearing up for March Madness, which begins March 16th. In NHL news, Detroit loses to the Rangers 0-3. Boston wins against Florida 5-2. My name is Cole Beyond, and thank you for listening to Sports Rewind on the Kid Star Radio Network.
You've been listening to Sports Rewind.
What about the world concerns you? Is it future success? Is it world issues? Are you just looking to change the world in general? Tune in to What Up World. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, or what you look like. Everyone is entitled to the same chance for success. Follow your dreams. Move forward. Make a difference. Tune in to What Up World every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Do you think that you can't change the political system in our country? Well, one host is doing that and started at age 13. Join Connor Brantley for Hello, the Future is Calling. Our show takes an inside look at what's going on in national, state, and local government from a new and very unique perspective. Connor holds our elected officials accountable and will bring you an unbiased look at what's really going on. Listen for Hello, the Future is Calling every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on Voice America Kids. Help make a difference.
We didn't invent Kid Talk. We perfected it. And at a very young age, you're listening to Voice America Kids.
Looking for a show about your favorite movies, stars, and DVD releases? Get ready for Kids First Coming Attractions on the Voice America Kids channel. Your hosts, all eight of them, have been selected by Kids First as film critics through a national competition. Each week, they will preview new movies before you see them, walk the red carpet with the stars, and will review the latest DVDs. Our hosts range from ages 7 to 14 to give you a wider kids' perspective. Kids First Coming Attractions is heard every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific on Voice America Kids. This is Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids. Be sure to check out Eliana's webpage at kidchefeliana.com or follow her Facebook and Twitter pages by clicking the links on her show page. Now, back to Cool Kids Cook.
Welcome back. I'm Kid Chef Eliana, and it's Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids. It's time for a Tisket, a Tasket, what's inside my basket? Today's secret ingredient is eggs. Let's talk about eggs. Egyptian and Chinese records show that fowl were laying eggs for man as long as 1400 BC. In commercial egg laying, most eggs are laid between 7 and 11 a.m. That's an early bird. In France, for good luck and healthy children, brides break an egg on the threshold of their new home before entering. How many ways can you prepare eggs? By the French Revolution, the French could prepare eggs in 685 different ways. In the Philippines, people eat a dish called balut. It's an egg with an unhatched chicken side. I think I'll stick to scrambled eggs. Here is a recipe for my homemade pasta dough. I really love this quick and easy pasta recipe. Ingredients: 3 cups of all-purpose flour, 4 eggs, and water if needed. Directions: in a large bowl, combine ingredients with your hands. The dough will not stick to your hands when it's ready. If it is too dry, then add a little bit of water. If it is too sticky, add a tiny bit more flour. Let the dough rest for a few minutes. Now start using your pasta maker according to the machine's directions. When boiling fresh pasta, only boil for 2 to 3 minutes or until al dente. You can find all of these recipes on my website, kidchefeliana.com. If you have a secret ingredient you'd like me to talk about, you can email me at eliana@kidchefeliana.com. Or call my U.S. toll-free number, 888-721-5915. Leave me your first name, where you're calling from, and your question. Maybe your suggestion will air on a future episode. It's time for Foodie News. I will give you an update on new food trends, cool cooking info, and the occasional strange food story. First Lady Michelle Obama, the USDA, the U.S. Department of Education, and Epicurious have once again teamed up for the 3rd annual Healthy Lunchtime Challenge Recipe Contest. If you are the parent of a budding chef between the ages of 8 and 12, you're invited to work together and send in your child's original lunch recipe inspired by the USDA's My Plate. You and your child could win a trip to Washington, D.C., and you may have the opportunity to represent your state at the Kids' State Dinner hosted by Mrs. Obama at the White House. The deadline is April 5th, 2014. Visit recipechallenge.epicurious.com for details. Are you the next young chef prodigy? The Rachel vs. Guy Kids Cook-Off Battle is back. The Season 2 show is casting young chefs between the ages of 8 to 13 who cook better than most adults. The deadline is April 14th, 2014. To apply, visit rachaelvsguykidscasting.com. According to Eater National, the Dallas pizzeria chain has now banned all outside ranch dressing. Yes, you heard that right. And if you want ranch dressing on your pizza, there's an emergency bottle available, but it will cost you $1,000. The tongue-in-cheek joke has garnered the pizza company a lot of national press as passionate Pizza Plus Ranch aficionados post their complaints via social media. And that's this week's foodie news. Hey, kid foodies, I'd love to hear from you. Tweet me. I'm at Kid Chef Eliana. Send me your questions and ideas, and we'll connect. I'm also Eliana Cook's fan page on Facebook. On Instagram and Pinterest, I'm Kid Chef Eliana, so you know where to find me. You're listening to Cool Kids Cook on the Voice America Kids Network. This is Kid Chef Eliana, and it's time for The Cookbook Shelf. In this segment, I'll review the latest cookbooks and share it with you. Today's Cookbook Shelf features Soul Town Kitchen, Korean Pub Grub to Share with Family and Friends by Debbie Lee. The recipes in this book reflect Debbie's favorite aspects of Korean culture, pub grub. The recipes are also simple and delicious, and they allow anybody to bring these Asian small plates to their table. I actually got this cookbook as a gift. And I love this. And Seoul Town, Seoul as in Seoul, Korea. But I like this book a lot. And the book is actually broken down into 12 chapters. And it has it from skewers and noodles to pork and tofu. And it, of course, has kimchi in the book. And it has lots of bold flavors of Korea in the dishes. But they reflect the homey American comfort. So in here, it has like spam and eggs, which you actually do in the Philippines too, egg battered pork belly, spicy barbecue pork, and it shows cutting the pork. There's Korean style sushi, and each recipe has a picture in it. There's like egg-ceptional, egg fried rice, kimchi fried rice. There's roasted black cod with pimento chili sauce, and there's wok-tossed fish cakes, and there's even lots of things. There's drink recipes in here, chicken curry turnovers, tofu stew, and wow, there's just lots of things like the K-Town malt. There's just lots and lots of different Korean recipes in here that are simple and easy that you can do at home. So I love this cookbook. I definitely have to try some of these. So this past weekend, my mom and I and Auntie Faye went to the Jambalaya Writers Conference, and it was in Houma. So Auntie Faye flew in from California to come to the conference, and it was actually really funny because she came in on standby, so we weren't sure if she could actually come to the conference or not. And my mom picked me up at school, and I said, and if she were to come, she would be in the car with her. I didn't see anybody in the car, so I said, oh, she couldn't come. But she crouched down so low, so when I opened the door, she like surprised. She was like, I'm here. And we started screaming, and we're like, yay. It was so exciting. So that night, we drove straight to Houma. And we went to the author's dinner. It was actually on the bayou. It was a gorgeous sunset right on the bayou. The water was right beneath you. And there was boats and on the Intracoastal Canal. It was gorgeous. And we had like little appetizers like duck empanadas and broccoli. And it was like very fancy. And Auntie Faye and I both had crawfish pie. Everybody else had pork loin. There were lots and lots of authors there that were going to be at the conference that were speaking or signing books there. So they had lots of authors, and everybody got to talk to each other and get to know each other. We met some wonderful people there. It was so much fun. But then we also went to the actual Jambalaya Writers Conference. And my mom and I were both presenters at the conference. So my mom had her presentation where she had like a workshop, and she was talking, and she taught everybody how to make a six-page book without you know, using one sheet of paper and just lots of fun things. Everybody loved that. And there were also lots of other presentations at the Dumbelite Writers Conference. They had keynote speakers, but it wasn't like a really, really huge conference, but I loved the conference so much. Everybody was so wonderful and nice and got to talk to everybody. We had so much fun at the conference. And I was also a presenter at the Jambalaya Writers Conference. I did a cooking demo, and of course I made jambalaya. I'll tell you a little bit more later. Dip your pizza in marinara and not ranch while we head to a break. I'm Kid Chef Eliana, and you're listening to Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids.
Bookworm is a show for the reader and those that should probably be reading a little more. We'll tackle the classics, the bestsellers, and the brand new works that you won't be able to put down. Your host will be combing the pages of them all and letting you know what needs to be in your personal library and what might be better reading for the bathroom. Tune in to Bookworm, airing Thursdays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time and 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel. We promise that listening will be just like delving into a good book.
You're listening to Voice America Kids, now with 33% more active ingredients and no artificial coloring.
What about the world concerns you? Is it future success? Is it world issues? Are you just looking to change the world in general? Tune in to What Up World? It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, or what you look like. Everyone is entitled to the same chance for success. Follow your dreams. Move forward. Make a difference. Tune in to What Up World every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
This is Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids. Be sure to check out Eliana's webpage at kidchefeliana.com or follow her Facebook and Twitter pages by clicking the links on her show page. Now, back to Cool Kids Cook.
Welcome back to Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids. I'm Kid Chef Eliana, and it's time for Figure Out This Food. I have a game on my Facebook page called Figure Out This Food. I post a close-up of a food item, and the first three guesses get a shout-out here. Congratulations to Rachel Desel Murakami for guessing fava beans. Let's talk about fava beans. Fava beans are popular in Middle Eastern and Mediterranean cuisines. They are also called horse or broad beans. They have a meaty, dense texture and a strong, earthy flavor. Fava beans are available fresh, canned, dried, or even frozen. They need to be peeled once to remove the outside pod and one more time to take off the tough skin covering the bean before being eaten. If the fava beans are fresh, the skins may be tender enough to eat. If the beans are dried, they have to be soaked for several hours. It's snacktivity time! Here, I give you fun, easy-breezy snack ideas. Today's snacktivity is frozen peanut butter banana bites. Make this after school as a fun snack for the family. Ingredients: 5 medium ripe bananas, 1 tablespoon of creamy peanut butter, and 1 tablespoon of Greek vanilla Greek yogurt. Directions: peel one banana and mash it in the bowl with the peanut butter and Greek yogurt. Set aside. Peel other bananas and slice them half an inch thick. Smear mixture on half of banana slices and place the rest of the slices on top, making a little sandwich. Place on baking sheets and freeze for 2 hours. Hey, young chefs, you're listening to the Voice America Kids Network. This is Kid Chef Eliana, and it's time for Creative Cuisine. This is my recipe for beef stroganoff with baby carrots. This is a simple dish that sounds like it's from a fancy restaurant. This version is not traditional because it has carrots in it, but it's still really delicious. Ingredients: 1/4 of a cup of flour, 3 tablespoons of seasoning salt divided, 1.5 pounds of stew meat, 4 tablespoons of olive oil divided, 1 large red onion chopped, 4 cloves garlic minced, 2 cups mushroom sliced, 4 cups beef stock, 1 cup baby carrots, 1 tablespoon Worcestershire sauce, 1 teaspoon nutmeg grated, one cup of Greek yogurt and salt to taste. Directions. In a large zip bag, add flour and 1 tablespoon seasoning salt and shake vigorously. Place meat inside bag and shake, coating each piece of meat with flour. In a large Dutch oven, heat 2 tablespoons olive oil over medium heat. Add onions and saute until translucent, about 5 to 7 minutes. Add garlic and saute 1 more minute. Remove onion mixture and set aside. Add 2 more tablespoons olive oil. Add flour-coated meat to oil. Cook meat until all sides are brown. Add cooked onions, mushrooms, beef stock, carrots, Worcestershire, seasoning salt, and nutmeg. Reduce heat to low, cover, and simmer for 2 hours, stirring occasionally. Turn off heat and stir in Greek yogurt, incorporating thoroughly. Salt to taste. Serve over egg noodles. Serves 4. Hey, young chefs, it's time for Cookin' Crafts. Here's a fun kitchen-related craft. Today's Cookin' Craft is how to make a pine cone bird feeder. Supplies: 1 pine cone, 1 foot twine, 1/4 of a cup of creamy peanut butter, 1 tablespoon of sesame seeds, 1 tablespoon of rolled oats, and 1 tablespoon of sunflower seeds. Instructions. Step 1. Tie twine around top of pine cone. Step 2. In a bowl, mix all ingredients together. Step 3. Roll the pine cone in the mixture. Step 4. Tie the string around a tree branch outside and wait for the birds to come and eat. The instructions, along with photos, are on my website for this week's episode on KidChefEliana.com. Don't forget to connect me on Twitter and Facebook. I'm at KidChefEliana on Twitter and Eliana Cooks fan page on Facebook. Be sure to hit that like button. I like you, and I hope you like me too. If you are listening to the show on iTunes, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review the show. The more reviews we get, the more young chefs we can reach. And remember, my Parents' Choice approved award-winning cookbook, Cool Kids Cook Louisiana, and my new cookbook, Cool Kids Cook Fresh and Fit, is available at any online book retailer. So as I was saying about the Jambalaya Writers' Conference, I was a presenter, and I did a cooking demo of course, jambalaya. But the funny thing was that for lunch, they served us jambalaya. So right after lunch, that was at like 12, and my cooking demo was at 3, you know, we had like jambalaya back to back. So I did my cooking, I prepped at the library, and then I did my cooking demo there. I had a huge crowd in the room and had every seat filled, and everybody had such a great time. We were laughing. They got to ask tons of questions and got to take pictures with them. And I ran out of my samples. Everybody was like fighting over it. So I had to ask questions to see who could answer the question, get it right. And they would get an extra sample because everybody's like, I want more because this is better than the one we had at lunch. But I had a great time at the conference. I got to see some other presentations as well. But I had a great time. So also that weekend, so the conference was on Friday. So then Saturday, we went to a crawfish boil. And it's funny because my mom is actually allergic to crawfish. Like, she's allergic to seafood, but crawfish is the worst, so we still went to the crawfish boil, so she made sure to stay inside. But I had crawfish, and I had shrimp, and crab, and, you know, corn, boiled corn, and the potatoes, and everything, and it was delicious. And MTV had never had crawfish before, so I had to teach her how to do the crawfish, and, yeah, so, you know, she did that. She was like, oh my gosh, this is so good. I love it so much. And then she was, you know, she's from California. she was like, I'm being so valley girl. Cause she was just being so prissy when she was breaking apart her crab. And she was like using her fork, and they would say, and then the people who were hosting it, they said, no, that's not how you do it. Let me show you how to do it. And they were just like, broke it apart, and they were like, here, now you have all this meat. She said, "What? How did you do that? I don't get that." But it was so much fun. They also had bouilli at the crawfish boil, and bouilli is actually in my Louisiana cookbook, and that was actually where I got my mom and I actually got the idea from, was from the crawfish boil when she went a couple years ago, and I made it, and it actually tastes just like mine. It was really good. So I think I did a great job at replicating the bouilli, but I loved the crawfish boil. We even made s'mores over the fireplace, the fire pit outside. We played a couple of games of pool, not swimming pool, the other kind of pool, with the table and the balls and triangle. So we played that, and my team won. Yes, my team, we had an awesome team, because, you know, my mom walks into the room and says, "Let me teach you how to do this, and let me teach you how to play pool." I played pool, I used to play pool all the time. I said, "Okay, let's see whose team wins," and, you know, my team won. I said, "Now look who won, and it's my first time playing pool." But it was a fun game, and, you know, that was all fun and games, but, so then we went back home after the crawfish boil. And the next day on Sunday, we had a photo shoot. They had a photo shoot. And we actually took pictures in front of the post office, where we had these beautiful azaleas that were pink and blooming. They were gorgeous. We took lots of pictures in the library, at the playground. And I actually played at the playground, too. We had tons of fun while Auntie Faye was here. We had a fantastic time, and I loved every part of it. And I'm also going to, I also had my interview with the Food Network for an upcoming show, and I can't tell you all about that just yet. But hopefully it all turns out. Well, that's all for this week. I leave you with this quote from Buddha. "Everyone is gifted. Some people never open their package." Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Kid Chef Eliana with Cool Kids Cook. This show is produced by KidStar on Voice America Kids. Up next, a track from the KidStar album of the month. Bon appetit. I'll see you next week.
It's time to turn off the oven and close the refrigerator for this week. But be sure to join Kid Chef Eliana for another edition of Cool Kids Cook next Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time and 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel. Have a delicious week and keep cooking.
Hello, my name is Lindsay Marie from Phoenix, Arizona, and host of Bookworm. The KidStar album of the month this month is Back in School, Neil Brewer and Friends. Let's listen to My Back is Broken.
My back is broken, but I feel fine. I might need surgery, but my friend, I feel perfectly divine. If you were to ask, how is it such a thing could be? Well, I guess I'd have to answer that nobody else is me. My shoulders hurt, and when I lift my arms, I feel the sharpest pain. That brings such joy to me, and so you think the boy must be insane. If you want to know the secret why my back is in a crook, it's that ever since that we met, I've been packing Linda's books. And I cannot wait to slip a disc tomorrow round about 3:15.
The KidStar album of the month is Back in School by Neil Brewer and Friends. All musical proceeds Neil Brewer and Friends received are donated to the Harvard Stem Cell Institute to put an end to muscular dystrophy. For more information, go to the KidStar website, www.kidstar.org.